It says, take care that you do not forget. In the King James Version, it uses the word beware. Beware that you do not forget. And usually we would say, Yah, our Elohim. Yah, your Elohim. Not long ago, as we were having worship, that John had picked out some music, it the word Eloah came. So I went online to Hebrew for Christians, and sure enough, Eloah appears 37 over 70 times in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew scripture. Let me read you what it says. The word Eloah is the singular or the dual of Elohim. Remember, Elohim in an I-M is, it actually means, it's a plural Hebrew word, which we all understand that the Godhead is plural. It's there's, you know, there's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Godhead. So it's more than one, but it's one. It's the mystery, really. But I really didn't know, or at least I didn't remember, that the singular of Elohim, Eloah, is in the scripture, is there. And while the root of the word is unknown, it is thought that the same divine name is found in Arabic and in Aramaic. So note that these terms are borrowed from the original language, which is Hebrew. So in Hebrew, then here's a correct way to say, forget not. Now in the TLV version, they use Adonai and they use God. Adonai, your God. Okay? I have been a little more careful nowadays, and ever since our elder Sam taught us about, you know, remembering the name, that the God is not a name, it's a title. And unfortunately, it's used around the world for every kind of deity. Our deity has a unique name. And it is Yud Hey Vav Hey in Hebrew. Now, why don't you pronounce it? Because there's been controversy about pronouncing it. And I was led originally in my studies to believe that there was not credible evidence to add the vowels to that. Even though all my Hebrew Bibles that I've had contain vowels for Yud Hey Vav Hey. Okay? And so we have been, over the years, you know, I met Michael Rood and I met some of his companions way back when, you know, pre 19 something or other. In fact, Michael Rood stayed at my house. That's probably doesn't going to get me any points anywhere. But Gene would remember because he was coming here about the same time that Gene Doherty invited me to be in a pastor's breakfast that met at the hotel that is on 441, okay, that as you go south of 16th, on the right-hand side, there, that building used to be the Gainesville Sun, and it's now City College. There's a big property there on a lake, and we met there, and I remember because at the end of that, this is the first time I had ever been invited in the city, being a Messianic rabbi, and I got to meet all of the pastors in the city, and and as I was walking out the door, Gene handed me and Dr. Guth handed me a package of pens. And if you're a professor, pens are your instrument. You're a writer and so on. So I love pens. And I got a package as a gift from Gene Doherty, that's our Gene right here, and Dr. Guth, who were doing something for the community. Okay, in those days, Michael had invited Nehemiah Gordon, and at the time, Nehemiah was dressed in black and so on. He was a very much an observant Jew, but as Michael is not really a of the Haredi or any of those things in Israel, he's from the Karaite movement. And what Nehemiah has done over the years is, since then, has well published, and he's actually found over 1,000, at last count, something like 1,200 old manuscripts. These are manuscripts from that are considered antiquity. You know, some of them are very, very old, where the word yud hey vav hey is there and it has vowels. For him, there was liberation because he had been taught that you didn't pronounce the name, and so no one really knew how to pronounce it. It would only be pronounced in Yom Kippur and only by a certain few. But that he understood from the Torah and the Tanakh that Adonai said, Yud Hey Vav Hey had told us, make my name known. So he now, without shame, in on the internet, you can go find it, continually pronounces the name. The Hebrew speaker and one who worked in the area of the books and, you know, antiquity and was part of Israel being able to put together the monuments and so on that now exist for the Qumran books. And he's an authority in biblical Hebrew. And he said that all the manuscripts have vowels for Yud Hey Vav Hey, and is pronounced in Hebrew Yehovah. Okay? Now, like Sam said in Sam R, when he taught that, Sam said that he is not, we're not advocating that you just use that. We're just informing us that there is in Hebrew, you can actually say Yehovah. Well, that's interesting to me, because in the Latin American countries where I grew up, and in the evangelical movement, in Spanish, almost everybody uses Jehovah. And there are lots of songs. We sang songs in here all the time. I have a myriad of songs that I could sing in Spanish, but you guys don't know Spanish, so I don't use them very often, except Ludem. Every once in a while, I'll use a Spanish song, and Ludem and her husband, and will rejoice with me. You know, so, but in Spanish, Jehová is very common in all of Latin America and Central America. You know, it's that's how you say in the Spanish Bible, say Jehová. Okay, and it sounds like that. Interesting that in Spanish, Jehová, it's very close to the Hebrew pronunciation, Jehová. He in Spanish, the J sound. Yeah, the yud sound in Hebrew. Okay, so that whenever I find anything about his name, I want to make it known. So that when we play music here, for example, one of John's videos, and Marilyn gave us a video in for the Shema and other videos that are being made, they're actually quite modern. He uses the word Eloah. Okay? And Eloah is the singular of Elohim. So in the Bible it says, beware, that's the King James translation, or take care, be careful, that's another way of saying it. Be careful that you do not forget Yud Hey Vav Hey, your Elohim. I choose not to try to use the word God because it's lots of people use the word God. And that's what is used in the Middle East, in the Muslim countries, what is used in countries that have polytheistic kinds of deities. They'll use the word God and gods. And while I understand that Christianity here in the United States uses God, and I grew up that way, using my Lord, my God, that in to be a little more careful at this point in my life, I try to use either the Hebrew, okay, because it's in the Bible, the Hebrew, or in this case, I can use the word Eloah to refer to the single. And then in verse 18, that was verse 11 of chapter 8. In verse 18, then it says, so it's still the same chapter. And it says, rather, you are to remember Yah, your Eloah. So it tells us, do not forget Yah, our Eloah. And it tells us, you are to remember. That's the positive command. Yah, our Eloah. Your Eloah. Okay, so evidently, that's a really important thing. Because it's presented to us in both the positive and the negative. Okay, one of the sentences has a not, do not. The not is the negative declarative sentence. And there is the positive declarative sentence, you are to remember. But you are not to forget. So I think he wants to make a point. I think there's a point that's being made here. And I'd like to elucidate a little bit on that today. Today's Torah reading is Ekev. And Ekev is the same root word as Yaakov. Yaakov has a Yud in front of the same letters as Ekev. So Yaakov is translated as a heel. So it's in the heels of Ekev. Okay. Here we see this month that just passed, yesterday was still July, right? And that's really close to June. And ever since Father's Day, we have been referring to Yah Adonai, our Elohim, or our Eloah, we've been referring to him as Abba Father, because Yeshua said that you can. And when he taught us how to pray, he taught us how to pray. He didn't give us a prayer. I know that we can use it as a prayer. It's okay to use it as a prayer. But in this manner, it says in the King James, because I've had that memorized since I was young, pray ye. Okay? So this is a manner, it's a model prayer, it's a form of prayer, and we can analyze, and I have analyzed over the years the what's called the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And to see what elements is he, what manner is he speaking about. There's a pattern there. What is the pattern? He's not talking about that today, but Abba Father, we can refer to Yah Adonai, our Eloah, or Elohim, as Abba Father because Yeshua said so. He showed us the Father. He revealed the Father. He said that to Philip. He said that to the other disciples. He said that before he was killed. He said that just before he was killed. And he said that afterwards too. So we can, later in the New Testament, we cry, Abba, Father. It's written, okay? And we're not crying to an earthly father. We're crying to our heavenly father. So Yah Adonai is our heavenly father. I'm looking at these kinds of statements in the Torah with a new lens, like a brand new lens, okay? And the brand new lens is that while I have referred to him as Yah Adonai, our Elohim, our Eloah, I can also have the freedom, I have the freedom to refer to him as Abba. Okay? Abba, Father, is Hebrew and English together, right? And which is what the King James says. Okay? And Abba, Father, is telling his children, the children of Israel are his children. That means that we are his children too. We have been grafted in and we are now part of Israel, part of the children of Israel. That we are to have to be careful, this word right here, take care, which means be careful. Careful that we remember. But we also have to be careful we don't forget. Both. We have to be careful to remember and careful that we don't forget. That you do not forget Yah, your Eloah. Well, is that just the one time in that at the beginning of this chapter? It turns out that in this parashat, okay, he told them specifically to remember five times. He said to remember five times. That's in Deuteronomy 7, 18, 8, 2, 8, 18, 9, 7, and 9, 27. All those are part of today's reading, Ekev. And then he also said, do not forget four other times. That was in Deuteronomy 8:11, 8:14, 8:19, and 9:7. So there's four instances of do not forget and five instances of remember. So the positive wins, right? But in any case, nine times he tells us this. I think he's trying to make a point. He's obviously trying to make a point. What is it that he's trying to, and it's actually expressed in this reading. The things that he wants us to do, which he said elsewhere, is he did say in this parashat, remember where you've come from. I am Adonai your Eloah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Need to remember, he's telling them to remember your background. Remember where you came from. Okay? We tend to sometimes forget that we were sinners. Right? And because as far as east is from the west, has the Lord thrown our sins away. But it's good to remember that I was once lost, but now I'm found. It's good to remember that I haven't been serving Adonai this way, but once I came to him in 78, this is what I've been since 78. Okay, that's a few years ago. Number two, in this parashat, he tells them, remember your inheritance, that we're not just, you know, laboring here, but that we have an inheritance. Okay, that we're is not a momentary thing, but is an eternal thing that we will have with him. Because Yeshua said, where I am, you may be with me also. Okay? He said that in John chapter 14 or 15. The next thing, remember the way that I brought you. Now in Hebrew, that's haderech. Okay, when you have haderech, it has the he in front, the ha, and it's written with a capital H, and then the word Derek itself is capitalized. Because Haderek is a direct reference to Yeshua. Because Yeshua said, I am Haderek. He wasn't speaking Spanish when he told them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ani Haderek. That's what he said in Hebrew. Okay? Ani Haderek. Okay, so Haderek, since the beginning, here's the thing. That word Haderek is there from the book of Genesis. Okay? And when there's Derek and there's Haderek, Haderek has always been associated with Haderek Adonai, the way of Adonai. The way of Adonai became flesh, and that's Yeshua. Number four, in this parashat, he tells us to remember me. Well, Yeshua said that too. Okay? He said that when he was doing the Passover, that when you celebrate the Passover, that and you raise that cup of the third cup that's called the cup of redemption, that remember me is very much in there. So we are to remember the Father, remember his Father, our Father, but remember also him, Yeshua. So we need to remember Abba Yah, okay? And finally, remember what I have said. Yeshua was always reminding his disciples to remember what I've said. What I've said, what Yeshua has said, which is written down, is his word. It means actually remember the word. Because Yeshua is the Word. So remember the Word. All of these are very important remembrances in this chapter that we're reminded that we need to do. But today we live in a world where a person can be blind to the truth of Scripture and take credit for that which belongs to the Almighty. We live in a generation and in a world that routinely takes credit for what is divine. And it's subtle sometimes, but we're not to take credit for anything that he is and he's done or he said. We're not to take credit for it's his credit. He said it. To the extent that a person lacks humility is the extent to which he ascribes greatness to himself and to others he admires, instead of recognizing that all good things come from the Father. Everything comes from the Father. In our society, people routinely take that which belongs to the Almighty and ascribe it to men. It's the Almighty who brings good things. He's the one that brings the sun every day. And he's the one that brings the moon every day. And all kinds of stuff. He gives us our breath. Even. Okay? But instead, our society ascribes, instead of ascribing to the Lord, they ascribe it to men. And many leaders in our modern take a tremendous amount of credit for something that they're not really responsible for. Some people have gone so far down this road that it appears that they don't ever going to change. That in our lifetime, we're not going to hear any one of these people ever say, I got this from the Lord. The Lord's the one that does these good things. I may be the president or whatever, but I'm not responsible. No matter what the Almighty does to wake people, okay, in their mistaken way of thinking, my experience is that not many are getting the point. They stay in this confusion, giving the good things that are we experience, giving credit to one another instead of giving credit to the Almighty. In such way, they become pawns of the anti-Messiah. Okay? But there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Keep that thought in mind. I want to make a similitude. Have you ever heard a loving parent sharing his concerns with the older son or daughter about his or her own welfare? I actually was speaking with this with Mr. Rogers and Mrs. Rogers about their daughter, Stephanie, okay? Which they agreed. We're in agreement that they did share as she left home. And she's not in Virginia right now. She's in Gainesville, Florida. Okay? Now, all of us parents, we like our kids to be near us. You know, and sometimes they choose to go to the jungle. And so she came to the jungle here. Okay? Turns out there's some nice cats here. What you usually hear when this is done properly, you only hear soft words. You don't hear harsh words. You know, when we're instructing adult children, okay, we don't use, or, you know, I got a belt, and if you don't, you know, it's like, you know, if we try, the child would say, hey, I'm not a child anymore. I pay taxes, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm already middle-aged. Some would say, one of my sons would say, I'm middle-aged, Dad. Okay? But instead, if you listen to, if in your mind, if you recall those times and you observe that, well, you can almost sense is the tears in the parents' eyes as they share with their son or their daughter. And always, almost always, they're exhorting the son and daughter to follow the way, follow the Lord's way. Haderech. You also know that the child is listening. I mean child in just a general term. My oldest son is 56 years old, so you know, he's way bigger than I am. You can imagine that. Taller and et cetera. And you know that when you share with your son, I just had an opportunity not 2 weeks ago to be with my son in Dothan. And we had a marvelous time sharing back and forth. Okay? And when I was sharing the part that I was entitled to share about, he was listening. He was paying attention. But more than anything, if you are the fly on the wall watching these kinds of times, you see that the parent has compassion, and you see that the parent has graciousness. If we don't, by the way, and you're in the house of a 56-year-old, you're not going to stay there very long, because that's his home. That's, you know, that's he's got his own children, etc., his own grandchildren, etc. So, you know, it's what we can do is express in a way that shows compassion and shows graciousness. And I guarantee you that you can see that ooze out of those parents when this is happening. This is a skill that we weren't born with, the skill that you acquire in life. At the end, if you were the fly on the wall, you actually can see by the expressions and the information that's being exchanged that you can see that the son or daughter, the progeny, follows the parents' advice in some way. And the Bible says that life will be productive and long for them if they do that. That's the essence of the fifth commandment. Okay? But what happens if they do not? Ideally, none of us want to experience that. Where now we can be wrong, and I'm not speaking about those terms. Often when we're pleading with a son or daughter about the Lord, this is not for our benefit, it's for their benefit. Okay? But what happens if they do not? Then the warnings that that parent gives will just go right over that son and daughter. And time will be the judge. If this happens to you, there will be tears, not just in the parents. There will be tears in that child in the future when they realize, oh, my mom or dad gave me this instruction and I didn't follow that. Brokenness will be in the eyes of those parents. I just gave you the context of this parashah. I just gave you the context. Because this is Yah Adonai or Elohim speaking to his children as a parent that's giving them instruction. And he's trying to make sure that it gets down to them so that when there's no more Moses and there's no more, when they're on their own, that they will reap the benefits of what the Father had prepared for them in the promised land and not the other. Okay? This is the context of this week's Torah reading. In chapter 7, which is where this begins, here's how it begins. Verse 12. This shall be the reward when you shema these instructions and you guard and perform them. If you guard, meaning, you know, if you shomer, if you guard them and perform them. In the TLV version, it says, then it will happen as a result of your shema to these ordinances that when you do and you keep them, that Adonai will keep you with the covenant kindness that he swore to his fathers. I picked the song Covenant Song on purpose today because this is about covenant life. And the children here are in covenant with the Lord. This is where it says, Ot hi le'olam kisheshet yamim. In the prayer that we said, the Beshamru prayer, it says that it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. That sign, that word, ot, in Hebrew, is a covenant sign. It's the same context that is used in a wedding. The ring in the wedding is a covenant ring, the covenant sign. And how much, you know, the Lord married Israel, that and you know, Shabbat is that ring. So we are today not just meeting with him, not just obeying what he said, but we're actually here, if you will, we are attesting, we're testifying that the covenant exists between Yah Adonai, our Eloah, on us. And we are here to keep our end of the bargain. We're here to keep our part of the covenant. And if we do, then all of the covenant things go with it. The covenant is not, if you want to say, oh, I don't believe that. Here's the deal. The covenant wasn't made with you from you. It was made from him. And he is not a covenant breaker. So the covenant still exists, whether you want to put it on yourself or not. But by being here on Shabbat, we are, look, you can look around and say, well, there aren't many, many people here. You can do whatever you want to say, but if you're here, you are keeping the covenant. That is a forever covenant. Between me and the children of Israel forever, it says in the prayer from Exodus. Okay? So let me read you what it says in verse 12 of chapter 7. This shall be the reward when you shema these instructions and you guard to perform them. What is it? Then it will happen as a result of your shema that when you keep and do them, okay, when you guard them and do them, that Adonai, your Elohim, your Eloah, will keep with you the covenant kindness that he swore to your father. He's going to keep kindness. That implies peace. That implies joy. That implies all kinds of good things. So that's the essence of Parashat Ekev. In closing, I want to ask a question. Is there a reminder that he wants me and us to remember and do not forget? Is there anything that he wants us to remember and do not forget? I dare say that Yah Adonai still has a cry in his heart for unsaved people. So I want to remind us gently as I can, that he still cares for his people. He still cares for the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his beloved son. And that's not finite. That's infinite. Often we focus on people that are right now not living that life, and that it appears to us that they're just going straight to hell. You know, cross and go. I mean, they just get the little blue card that says, go to jail directly, like in the game. But he still has a heart for the lost. And the lost includes the people of Israel and the Gentiles. There's lost in both of those categories of people. What he wants us to do is to look, like the song, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. That's what it was like for me. He looked beyond all of the fault and all of the mess and saw that I had a need, and fulfilled the need with Yeshua. Yeshua said, let me quote, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. By this what? By what are they going to know that you're my disciples? He answers the question. By this, what is it this? If you have love one for another. So, a reminder in the congregation, we do love each other here, okay? And that love that we express to one another, that love that's kind, that it's Yeshua-like, that it's worthy of the Father, that love is our biggest evangelistic tool there is when it comes to Jewish people have a love sensor, big time love sensor. Okay? And they will test that to see if you really mean it. But if you do mean it, all of this stuff just melts down. If you really love them, they will respond to you. It doesn't matter if their current religion says, oh, don't get near those messianic people, they're this and that and the other. I'm here to tell you that that doesn't hold any water. If we stay with the way Yeshua said to do it, and that's to demonstrate to our audience, whether it's Gentiles or whether it's Jews, that we love them, that it is real. And when that happens, in the year 1992, we were being yelled at because we didn't know, we weren't doing things correctly in the Jewish community. And 2 years later, we're the ones setting up their sukkah for them. We're the ones actually doing it at the University of Florida. We're representing the Hillel of the University of Florida. Who's representing them? A Puerto Rican named Tony Arroyo with his family, who claimed to be Messianic. They're not Jews. Yes, we weren't. But do you hear what I'm saying? I had the privilege, eventually, to represent the entire Jewish community in the city of Gainesville for a while, with blessing. Meaning that I knew the rabbis at all the Jewish synagogues here, and was invited to be with them in those times where they have only certain ones. Like when Shlomo Carlovac died. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just expressing to you that it was still the same Tony, with the same family, with the same. But what made me go from being yelled at or being corrected to other people who would want to say, oh, those Gentiles don't know how to do Shabbat, to have the leaders of the Jewish community come and tell that person, keep those words to yourself. These people are our guests. They love us, and we love them. I didn't have to try to evangelize them. I could just demonstrate the love of Yeshua. That was enough. We are the disciples of the Father of the Son. We're the disciples of the Father of the Son. Kol Simcha is a congregation that is disciples of the Father, Yud Hei Vav Hei, of the Son, Yeshua. We need to model that we're his disciples because we can do that because we have great love for one another. So I want to exhort us as we leave here today to continue to emphasize that we love one another here. That is the calling card for who our congregation is. We may not be the largest, we may not be this, we may not be that, but it's people that come among us notice that there's a chill kind of thing towards one another. That there is an embracing, like we embrace your daughter months and months ago, and they were coming just about that same time, and we embraced them the same way. And I would trust and hope that you feel embraced, that you feel welcomed here. What do we want from you? Really nothing. We just want to love you and give the credit for that love to Yeshua. He's the one who deserves it. Okay? We are going to have new roles and opportunities. We are small, and we have lost people. There's an influx of 75,000 people coming here in 2 weeks. You know, a tithe of that will fill this congregation. So there's always an opportunity. There's a crop. They're coming here. And perhaps some of those will choose to try our congregation. Let us continue in the way we've been up to this point. We want to do as people walk through the door this. Hello! Been missing you, you know. I mean, don't say that. But then they feel like, they already want to put a thing on me and tie me down. Hello! Please feel welcome. You're welcome here as long as you want to be here. And I usually say as long as the Almighty wants you here. Okay? Let's continue. Because you are a loving congregation. You are very much of a loving congregation. Let's ask as a congregation to give us his heart towards all unsaved people, which includes his people, some of his people. Can we put their need in front of their fault? I believe that we can. I wanted to end with a song. I didn't cue it, so the song is written and sung by one of the Rambos, Mama Rambo. And the song goes something like this: Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why Yeshua came and loved me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the tree, the cross, where Yeshua died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Shabbat shalom.